Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is one of my favorite writer-directors, Luke Spark, who has brought us Occupation Rainfall, the sequel to Occupation, which was a sci-fi adventure that I thoroughly enjoyed from a couple of years ago, and this one's better. Yay! Hi, Luke, how are you?
Good, how are you?
pretty good. This, oh my goodness, you said you were going to go ahead with the sequel as soon as all of the pieces came together, and my word, this was fun.
Great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I think it's fun as well.
The action sequences, the battle scenes, there is so much just multi-layered special effects going on. What possessed you to put together this entertainingly delightful madness?
Well, like I said, after the first movie, I definitely had ideas to do a second, and I sat down with my producers very early on, and I said the first movie I did it by the seat of my pants, where I was figuring things out as I went and getting things together as we kind of even were shooting. This time I wanted to sit down and write something that was big. So I set out to do that straight away. And, you know, everyone agreed with me. And, yeah, we went for, you know, balls to the wall, spectacle, action, I guess. Yeah. And that's what happened.
How much extra time did you guys take in preparing for the scenes with the special effects, because the battle scenes are worthy of, you know, Transformers or Star Wars to me. I mean, this, I thoroughly enjoyed spaceships blowing up and everything.
Yeah. Look, obviously a lot of planning, because we're an independently financed film and we're trying to do something on a bigger scale than usual. We had to cut the film up into like three or so blocks of shooting, which was a whole other nightmare to deal with. So in like 2018, we shot, you know, a couple of weeks, and then 2019, we came back and shot a couple of weeks, and then there was a little bit more afterwards. So even that in itself was continuity and how to cut it all together. But yeah, we had to do it just out of necessity of finance, budgets, actors, and the visual effects. So it's been 3 years of my 3 to 4 years of my life, 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. So yeah, it's been a big task.
Is the story you had in mind when you started writing the sequel pretty much what we have as a finished product?
Yeah. I think on the Blu-ray there's a couple of deleted, there's like 8 or 9 deleted scenes, but they're more character driven, unfortunately. You get to a point where sales agents, distributors tell you, you know, is this a drama film or is this an action film? And obviously I went the action film way, so there's some character stuff that had to drop off. But yeah, apart from that, there was only 2 scenes that we didn't film, just out of time and budget constraints, again character driven stuff. So yeah, this is pretty much the story that I had in my head and is on the page from the beginning.
And when you're combining action with drama, I'm the type of person that says, why not both?
I completely agree. Completely agree.
So how long was it to actually get these segments filmed? Because you said you were working around budgets and actor availability. Everything seemed so fast-paced that when you say that you broke it up over several years, I'm in awe.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully people can't tell, and I doubt people can, but there's certain shots within the film that we're looking at one actor one way is 2018, and then we do the reverse shot and it's 2019, completely a year later, and it's all cut together. And it's the magic of the movies. Because we're independently financed, I guess it was difficult when we got to shooting, because you've got this finite amount of time. Once the cameras start rolling, it's hugely expensive, especially when you're dealing with like this many extras and vehicles and everything else, it's prosthetics and everything else going on. So I never get as much time as I want. It's usually like 1 or 2 takes, and I have to turn to people and say, well, that's as good as what I'm going to get, obviously I'm happy enough to move on, but you know, in America, in big films, you usually get, you know, 6 to 7 months of shooting. So the blocks of shooting we had were only like 3 to 4 weeks of each. And some scenes that I had marked down as like, I'd love 3 days to film this, I had to do it before lunch on one day. So it just becomes down to planning, and you know, I had my storyboards and I pre-vised out a heap of scenes so we could already watch it on my computer before we even shot the film. So all that planning stage comes into it, and you have to be really diligent. And for myself, at the same time, I'm trying to do rewrite script pages, and I'm trying to talk to investors on the phone, and we're trying to shoot the film. So it was just it's a bit mental.
Now you're going to make me get the Blu-ray so I can step forward and see if I can see anything, because I will look for things like that and just seeing where how the soup was made. And
yeah,
are there any commentary tracks?
There's two commentary tracks on the Blu-ray. One from me and one from like the visual effects team, the producers, and one of the actors who played Dennis as well. And I think on the commentary, I think I actually point out a sequence that is shot across 3 different years, and I point out which shots are which. So definitely interesting.
I love commentary tracks, so that's a bonus point on my book. So what is your next plan? Because like I said, I liked Occupation a lot. It was inventive and creative and, you know, low budget sci-fi. I will, if it's a great story with good effects, I will signal boost it to the hills. And this one takes that to another level. I was like, you know, just giddy watching some of the battles, and I want to know what's next.
Well, you know, if you haven't seen the film, spoilers at this point in time, but obviously at the end of the film, I put up a big logo saying Rainfall Chapter 1. So yeah, Chapter 2 is in development, active development right now. The script's been written while I was filming this one. So I was doing that at the same time. Actually, during the post, I was writing the thing. So the script's written. It's actually, I've got some staff writers in from America this time to make it even juicier and try to pull back on some of my responsibilities. So it's actually out with casting right now. We're actually casting the film. So it definitely is in active development, and it will finish off the Rainfall storyline that I set up in this one. When I took this script to my people, it was like 400 pages. It was huge. And wow. I said, let's cut it in half and let's do another one. And everyone agreed on it. So we're all in agreement. It's all still happening in the background. I guess you have to release this film and see how it goes. So I'm hoping that lots of people watch it and see it and become fans and want to know what happens next, because that would be obviously very helpful for a filmmaker. And you know, it's if this one was crazy, the next one is like just insane. Because we've got, by the end of the film, so many characters in different places and different situations. I guess this one's self-contained story was kind of Amelia's storyline, where they go to the mountain base and there's what's happening there with commanders and everything else. And that kind of finished at the end of this movie. But there's the story of the aliens and the Rainfall secret weapon and all that kind of stuff that lingers on. So the next one starts with a Bane, and we take characters off in different directions. So it's going to be exciting to bring that to the world. Hopefully you can start shooting later this year. This is the kind of hope for that. So yeah, that'll be good. In the meantime, I'm working on a different project for a TV series.
Science fiction or something you can talk about? Can you tease it just a tiny bit?
Kind of, I guess you could say it's science fiction crossed with history. It's like time travel, probably the most I could say.
Time travel is always a fun one to play with. Always a fun one. Well, we will wait and hear what you have to bring to the TV show. But I am happy to learn that chapter 2 of Rainfall is on its way. The wheels have already been put in motion, so I don't have to wait, you know, 4 years
Let's hope not with the visual effects. I mean, I think this one we had 1,700 visual effects shots, and I think the estimation from Occupation 3 is it's going to be maybe 2,600 or something.
Wow.
So, yeah,
Cool.
it's even bigger.
Nice. Well, congratulations on getting Occupation Rainfall made and getting the wheel started with Chapter Two. I'm a happy camper as a fan of science fiction, as a fan of indie films. This gave me great joy.
Great, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So, Luke, where can people find you online to keep up with any new developments on these projects?
I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's usually at Luke Spark Official or something like that. It's about Facebook, and I think yeah, same as Instagram. Twitter, I think it's just Luke underscore Spark. So yeah, I'm around. I'm always happy to answer questions and talking to fans.
Do you get a lot of questions from people saying, "Hey, I want to make an indie sci-fi film. Where do I start?"
Yep, that's usually the number one question. Where do you start? Everyone has a different journey, so it's hard to sort of pinpoint what I was lucky enough that I've worked on films for many years before I started directing behind the scenes, doing costumes and props and building up a sort of rapport with filmmakers and backers and everything else. So that's how I got into where I am. I always tell people, best thing to do is just either if you don't know anyone in the film industry, just get out there and start shooting something because you'll sort of very much quickly learn on the go if you have a knack for it, editing and knowing the shots. And if you can somehow work in films, even just start doing, helping out with assistant work in that and be around cameras because you can pick it up very quickly if that's what you want to do. It's a very fun industry to work with and very creative and it usually flows across everyone if that's what you want to do. I've seen some people on film sets that just are so bored and they just sit there with their coffee and don't really they just do what they have to do. And it's very sad to see because when I was doing costume work, I was always right near the director, right near the cameras, just absorbing everything I could possibly do. And it does help so many days on set where I harken back to a film I did, 10 years ago or that not and an idea from that might come and apply to the scene I'm doing. So it's very interesting.
Cool. Well, Luke, thank you. Thank you so much for your time today and sharing your insights on the Occupation series.
That's okay. Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for enjoying it.
The movie is Occupation Rainfall, out from Saban Films in theaters, on digital, on demand on June 11th. And I recommend everyone go see it. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. We're here now with Dan Ewing, my favorite Australian action crash test dummy. I don't know.
Summer, that's probably one of the best intros I've ever had. No fluff, no blowing smoke, crash. That's exactly what actors are. That's fantastic. Great to talk to you again.
Same here. I had a lot of fun with Occupation, and when I heard there was a sequel coming along, I'm like, oh, tell me more. And the action and the special effects in this one are crazy, and you're running around, diving, jumping, getting punched, getting kicked, getting dropped off of stuff. Did you have to do any extra preparation to get your body ready for all that abuse?
Look, they haven't surfaced yet, but there's a few good photos. Look, you're just gonna play rugby, really. It's the preparation for doing action films. No, it was very necessary for the film and the pace we needed to shoot at. I had a great stunt double who got very bored. He got to do one or two fantastic shots, and they're amazing. I think they're the ones that the insurance company wouldn't allow me to do, but it was look, as far as preparation physically goes, it was more just getting in shape, to be honest. Like to represent, people that have been sort of scrounging for food for 2 years, living on spam and all sorts of horrible sort of processed things. Dan in real life just had to live on, chicken and salad for a while. I was very grumpy.
Well, this movie exceeded my expectations for a sequel. The special effects were incredible. We see Matt again. He's a lot angry and taking out his frustrations on the aliens who have come to Earth to basically kick over a lot of anthills. What was your approach to the changes Matt has gone through in the 2 years since we saw him last?
I love the conflict within Matt. I think he's going to represent a lot of people. I think, and not to speak for Luke, our director, he wanted discussions on the way home from the cinema. We don't encourage arguments here on Occupation Rainfall, but if people did have arguments, do them safely. it's because if you like, so you've obviously got, there's other humans that sort of want to wipe the greys out. They came here, they invaded us, they deserve it. And then you've got Amelia, who's sort of leading this, you know, band, for want of a better term, of sort of the defectors and the separatists and trying to achieve a peace and sort of fighting against the occupying force. And then you got Matt, sort of, he you can see the conflict in him. And that's sort of that was what I really wanted to bring. It's like he's not one of these guys that just wants to wipe out, you know, aliens and their infants, you know. I think we see that quite early in the film. So it's the constant conflict, and hopefully that came across. I don't think I've seen it too many times yet. You'll have to tell me.
Well, there's a moment where he pauses. He decides not to kill some alien youngsters. And you see he's angry. You see he wants to do something like that, but he chooses not to. He chooses a higher road. And I think we see him on a journey where he decides to have whoever's back he knows he can count on, he's fighting with. And that eventually ends up being a few graves. And the whole movie is just, for me, a lot of fun because it's sci-fi, it's action, it's sci-fi, it's lots and lots of fun special effects. And that's the type of movie that will encourage sci-fi geeks to argue with each other about what's going on. So well done.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, I got to say, it's like the world that Luke created. Like when we say, you hear a lot in interviews that directors are visionaries. Like what Luke was able to achieve in his production team with the budget. Don't get me wrong, the budget was a lot better than the first one, but the scope he wrote, and he had to cut stuff out. Like I don't know how he thought he was going to do this, but he did it. What's a line? What's the line from Independence Day? It's like, the son of a bitch did it. I always think about that when I think about Luke. It's just like, number one, iconic film. Number two, you kind of look back and to shoot this film in the time we did. And I think it's amazing. And I know US audiences are going to love it.
Well, I do. So I hope others do as well. And I already talked to Luke and he had to hold back a few things because we don't want to give away too many spoilers. I want people to go into this movie fresh and seeing just a really fun popcorn special effects extravaganza. And for you, what was the most, I guess, satisfying part of actually getting this sequel made, the filming, the production, anything?
Easily going through this with the team from the first, like what's the Blues Brothers thing? We're getting the band back together.
Yeah.
Just everybody come back for the second film. And obviously we added new pieces. It's like when a sporting roster sort of has a great season or a good season, but they want to get to great. So you've adding all these new pieces. And obviously I'm talking about Kem Jeong and Jason Isaacs and Daniel Gillies there. It's but to see the guys returning, and I'm not just, like I said, not just the actors, but the crew that came back, the new crew we added, to see them, that was the cool thing for me, because it was, like I said, it was like getting the band back together, the family back together. And you work harder for friends and family, you really do. I mean, I'm sure you have great little, we call them Barneys here, great little tiffs with each other as well, but just to do it and do it together, and for perhaps the journey not to be over. That's very exciting.
cool. Yeah, finding how the world we saw in occupation, seeing how it expanded out to greater and greater and wider spaces and more communities. And those people, the new people you mentioned coming in, just seem to be just there already. And that's a sign of some good world building. And I'm happy to get to enjoy it. For you, what's, like I said, I don't want to go anywhere where there's spoilers, but what's up next for you on your plate?
On my personal plate, well, I feel like I've been talking about the projects I've been lucky to be a part of for a while, actually. Yeah, Love and Monsters was number one movie in the world across the Netflix platform for, I think it was the whole of April and a lot of May. So I've been very grateful. I've been doing a lot of Zoom meetings, I'll put it that way. there's a lot of interesting stuff on the cards that I can't talk about yet, as is, you know, that's the way of the world. But it's I'll put it this way, without movies like Occupation, Rainfall, and without Love and Monsters, those sorts of opportunities wouldn't have come. But I will be talking to you again. We'll say that.
Awesome. Awesome. Luke hinted at that. So sweet, sweet, sweet.
Yes.
What can you say a little bit about Love and Monsters, your time on that?
Oh, such good fun to come in and do a big sort of what was supposed to be a big tentpole feature for Paramount and the 21 Laps guys. So for everybody at home, 21 Laps is the production company that Sean Levy runs. And so that's Stranger Things, and they do a bunch of other slates. To step into that world was fantastic. And those guys knew exactly what they were making and why. And even down to the wig, I was like, this wig, very 90s. But when you see the world and it all put together, you completely understand. I'm so grateful for the reaction worldwide. It's been huge. So I get people inboxing me from like literally all over the globe, and I've started to have that happen here with Occupation. It's fantastic. Like just the buzz about the trailer and what we're able to accomplish in this first Occupation film, and then for it to go to Netflix, it gives people all over the world the opportunity to see it. And I think that's why we're here for the sequel. And who knows, we may not be done yet. So it's very, 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 very exciting time. Apologies for the giant pterodactyls outside my window that decided to interrupt your podcast. I didn't realize I was in Jurassic Park 3. That's fine.
And it was like, are you practicing for a Jurassic Park movie we don't know about?
I was about to say, that's great. This is just Australia, by the way. This is just what we do every day.
You guys have immensely large spiders, and please keep them there, because that's nightmare fuel for me.
The way I see it, it's kind of like the tax for living in paradise, right? It's like we were sent here as convicts in this sort of this island, this, you know, isolated island paradise, and it's the tax we pay. You know, everything can kill you. You know, the sharks, the domestic pets want to kill you when you sleep, who knows. It's but it's a beautiful part of the world. I'm actually in a bit of a secluded part of Australia at the moment too, so it's very, very good. So luckily the internet was good enough that I could talk to you.
Awesome This I saw a video of a huntsman spider. I'm like, no, not going there, sorry. Keep it.
They're not dangerous. So those ones, like, are literally one the size of your hand can walk past your face. They're not going to hurt humans. You walk around, they kill the other ones. They kill all the other stuff. See? Balance. It's like the Godzilla of spiders.
Oh, that's just frightening. I'm a huge Godzilla fan, and
there you go.
Now I want to see Godzilla fight a giant spider. Seriously?
Yeah, well, I think they filmed the last. I think it was Godzilla versus Kong here. I was waiting for a few Australian creatures to come out and show Godzilla who was bosses and mate.
Now that would have been cool. That would have been really, really, really cool. So what else are you having fun with?
Well, at the moment, I'm actually, it's time off, because technically it's my birthday today. So this is my, after I get done talking about this beautiful film, I'll be into birthday activity mode. So I'll be off sort of walking and hiking and fishing and all that sort of detached stuff from technology. So I usually just sort of leave the devices and then go out into the world. So yeah.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. 25 again. It's been great.
Nice. So where can my listeners find you online to keep track with whatever new sci-fi or horror adventures you're coming into?
Where am I?
Yeah.
The best place you can sort of keep track of me is at my Instagram, which is @_DanEwing. I try to have a bit of fun with it. So please don't be offended by my dry Australian sense of humor. I think I'm funny in my mind. I'll say that. I think I'm hilarious in my mind.
As long as you're eager and honest about it, people will laugh with you, not at you.
That's it. That's it. There's plenty of occupation rainfall things. Posted with the Americans, which is we're very, very excited for that here. So if you're not watching the NBA finals, which everybody should be, unless you're watching Occupation Rainfall. So Occupation Rainfall, then you can go back to basketball.
Gotcha. Well, I have actually been watching a lot of soccer, UEFA and Premier League, and now I have no soccer, but I have baseball, so we're good there.
Yeah, you go. So over here, it's quite interesting because there's obviously lots of UK influence in our country. You got to call it football. They call it football. I call it soccer because I grew up calling it soccer. But you get the very serious football fanatics. They'll inform you that it's football rather than soccer. You're very sensitive about it.
Yeah, I don't get it. But it's like, hey, I know what the sport is.
I get it. I get that it's good. You know, they play with their feet. I actually completely understand it. But it's funny that when you get a passion. And a football fan. See, I won't even call it. I'm fine. I'm getting tests already.
Cool. Well, the movie is Occupation Rainfall, and I do hope we get to see more because this is so far 2 for 2 in fun movies.
Oh, I hope so too. I think when US audiences see it, I think they're going to want more. And so big thank you to you, Summer, again, and your slice of sci-fi loyalists, your viewers, your listeners. I love your show, always have, and I really appreciate everyone's feedback, good or bad.
Like I said, I will continue to wave the flag for this one because it's in my wheelhouse. You got action, you got sci-fi, you got fun stunts, and I can't go wrong with that. So, Dan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
The movie is Occupation Rainfall, out June 11th from Saban Films on demand, digital, and in theaters. And we'll have links to where you can find that. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all. Take a ride with us at escapepod.org and buckle up because it's story time.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And Occupation Rainfall will be available this coming Friday, June 11th. And yes, I do recommend seeing it. The action is a lot of fun. The special effects are incredible. I am so happy that Luke got a lot more budget and technology to work with this time around. And I can't wait to see the third one that comes out. I'm literally looking forward to that one. And I'm happy to see that indie sci-fi is still on the table for a lot of people. This brings a small glimmer of joy to my heart. And I will keep looking for it. So, what are your thoughts? What do you think? Have you seen Occupation? And are you planning to see Occupation Rainfall? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Or hit me up on Twitter, @sliceofscifi, where, yes, I do get into conversations about a whole wide variety of things. And, of course, you can come by the website, sliceofscifi.com, and start up a conversation for this episode and any of the others we have. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through Apple Podcasts, through Stitcher, through Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, iHeartRadio, and I think I'm missing one. Shoot. Anyway, if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Let people know you are enjoying Slice of Sci-Fi, and maybe other folks should check it out for themselves. And there's also Podchaser, where you can leave a review for Slice of Sci-Fi, for Writers After Dark, for Babylon Podcasts, for all of the podcasts here in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Help raise our profile. Get a few more ears listening to these interviews so we can keep going. And that's why I do these shows, for the listeners, for you guys. And your support helps keep these shows online, helps keep the media, the podcast flowing, the websites up and running. And for that, I do thank you. If you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi, where you can pick your level of support. And everyone who is a patron is automatically eligible to get a perk. Every month I pick a winning email address out of the hat, and that person gets to choose a gift, a prize. I've got DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks, books, lots of books, advanced copies, finished copies. You get to choose. And you help me out also, because I don't have space to keep all this stuff, and you all, my longtime listeners, new fans, wherever you fall on that line, you get first dibs at the good stuff. And if a donation every now and then is more your speed rather than a monthly pledge commitment, the link you can use for that is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.